Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the king's mischief as we pick up in Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
There shall stand up in his place his son, Seleucus, fellow Peter, who would be a raiser of taxes. He tried to raise the taxes to pay this Roman tribute in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he will be destroyed. Neither in anger nor in battle, he was poisoned and killed. After just a very short reign, because the people didn't like the taxes he was trying to exact from them. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, Antiochus Epiphanes, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now this Antiochus Epiphanes was a real treacherous person. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peaceably even on the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches. He began to conquer, and he did what his fathers did not do, in that they amassed the wealth for themselves, but he began to give away all of the money to all of his generals and those that were with him. So his practice of distributing the loot among the men is here predicted by Daniel. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and the riches, yes, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. So he came against Egypt with a tremendous army, and Egypt met him. But he began to defeat the Egyptians. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. Now, they were stopped by the Roman government, and yet both of them sought to do mischief. And, of course, you read the history, and it's interesting. The king of Egypt, his brother, was in Alexandria, and both of them were doing a lot of lying and cunning and all. And so the king's heart shall be in them to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table and shall not prosper. They were just lying to each other, making treaties and everything else, which neither of them intended to honor. For yet at the end shall be the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches. His heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. And at the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. So he sought again to invade. Antiochus Epiphanes sought again to invade Egypt. But it shall not be as the former or the latter, for the ships of Chittim, actually, when he came this time to Alexandria, the Roman ships were there in the port. And so the Roman general, Pompilius Lenus, came to him, and he said, "The Roman Senate has ordered you to go home with your troops." And he said, "I will consult with my men, and we will send an answer to Rome." And Pompilius, the Roman general, took his cane, and he drew a circle in the sand around him, and he said, "Make your decision before you leave that circle." And he was intimidated by the Roman general, and so he said, "I've decided to go home. Tell the Roman Senate." And so here, this is all predicted here. The Roman navy met him. They were waiting in port at Alexandria when he came. All predicted in advance. Amazing that God would speak in such detail of these things that had not yet transpired. Now, he was angry because he was rebuffed by Rome, and so he determined to take it out upon the nation of Israel. And on his way back to Syria, he came to Jerusalem and really sought to desecrate the place. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. He came back to Jerusalem and polluted the temple. He built an altar, a pagan altar, above the altar of God, and he offered a pig upon this altar to an idol that they had set up there in the temple of God. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. His desecration of the temple so incensed the people that Judas Maccabeus gathered together a group of zealots and they began to attack the Syrians in guerrilla-type warfare. And they defeated every Syrian contingency that was sent against them. And they finally retook the temple and purified the temple, which period we've just gone through, the Feast of Dedication or Hanukkah in the Jewish calendar to celebrate Judas Maccabeus retaking and rededicating the temple unto God. So the people that do know their God, Judas Maccabeus and those Maccabean brothers, will be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and the flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. Both Judas and his brothers were all slain by the sword. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them shall understand and shall fall and try to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now at this point, Daniel's prophecy goes out to the end, and he sees now the man who is commonly called the Antichrist, but in Scripture is called the son of perdition, or is called the man of sin, or is called the beast. And the king shall do according to his will, the Antichrist. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation, which is the Old Testament word for the great tribulation, shall be accomplished. He will prosper until the tribulation be accomplished. For that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, and so he will obviously be a Jew, nor the desire of women. Now, this not regarding the desire of women can have one of two meanings. It was the desire of every Jewish girl to be privileged to bear the Messiah. And Christ was called the desire of nations, but the desire really of every young girl to be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Mary was the one that God chose. But the desire of women, that is why so many of the Jewish mothers named their child Joshua, hoping that God would use him for the salvation of Israel. Now, it is interesting today, there is an off branch of the Muslims known as the Druze. It's a very secretive kind of a religion. In fact, the people do not know what it's about. Only the priests know what they believe. They don't teach the people. It's a secret religion. And the priests are the ones that do all of the worship, and they're the ones that know the secrets, and no one else knows but them. And of course, they're sworn not to reveal the secrets to anybody. Now, you go into the Druze villages, and you see the priest, and they have a special little headband by which you know that they are priests, but not only that, they have these baggy pants with a big sack, sort of a contraption here in the front. And the reason why they have this big sack contraption in the front is that among the Druze religion, they believe that the Messiah will be born of a man. And thus they have this big sack in the front in case they get pregnant. That's true. I've got pictures of them, and you can go to the Druze villages today, and it's very amusing and interesting to see these men walking with these big sacks hanging down the front of their pants there in the front, and all of them in hopes that they'll be chosen to bear the Messiah and to become pregnant with the Messiah. So the desire of women would in that sense be a reference to Jesus Christ. So he does not regard the God of his fathers, nor Jesus Christ. He is a man who speaks blasphemously, not regarding any God, for he will magnify himself above all. So that is the no doubt the correct interpretation. There are some that says he'll be a homosexual, not regarding the desire of women, but more apt looking at the context of the Hebrew people, rather than referring to a homosexual, it is probably referring to the fact that he does not regard Jesus Christ. But his God is the God of forces. A God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Look how today men are honoring the God of forces with gold and silver. Do you realize that $1 trillion was spent this year for weapons? $1 trillion was spent this year in order to build tanks and guns and equip the military and all. $1 trillion. What a tragic misuse of the resources of the world. But it's all preparing for this man who honors the God of force. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. So the land of Israel, he will divide it for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen, many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and overflow and pass over. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these will escape out of his hand: Edom and Moab, which is Jordan, and the chief of the children of Ammon. So Jordan will not be taken by the Antichrist, though Israel will. Interesting, because the Jews will actually flee for protection to Jordan at this point, to the rock city of Petra, where they will be preserved by God for 3.5 years during the time of the great indignation or the wrath of God, which is to be poured out upon the earth. So Edom or Jordan escapes. However, he moves towards Egypt. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He will take the land of Egypt, and he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his doorsteps or at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with his great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. He shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, this is a reference to the Antichrist, who will be the leader of the United Nations of Europe. He shall be moving towards Africa, in the conquest of Africa, taking Egypt, passing through Israel, taking Egypt, moving towards Libya and Ethiopia, at which time he will hear of the troops from China and Russia coming against him. So he will turn from his proposed conquest of Africa and come back, and they will meet in the valley of Megiddo there in Israel. The tremendous force of the Chinese, for whom the river Euphrates will be dried up in order that they might cross, according to the book of Revelation. Those forces that are remaining in Russia, gathering against the combined forces of Europe, and the United States will no doubt be in league with those forces of Europe at this point. And this final great world war, the major scene of battle will be the Valley of Megiddo there in Israel. This is what is commonly called the Battle of Armageddon, of which you have read and heard so much about. And this, of course, is what will perpetrate this battle. As he is moving against Africa, getting news that Chinese and the Russians have confederated together to come against him, he turns in great anger, and the place of their meeting is the Valley of Megiddo. And it is at that time where the blood will flow to the horse's bridle throughout the whole valley of Megiddo as the slain of the earth. Millions destroyed in that great carnage and bloodshed. Now, it is during the time of this great battle of Armageddon that Jesus will return. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, the great tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So there's going to be a time of great tribulation, but Daniel's people are to be delivered. Now, their deliverance will come in several ways. Number one, there will be 144,000 of them who are sealed by God and protected from the plagues of the great tribulation. Number two, there will be those who will make their flight to the rock city of Petra, where God will preserve them. Jesus was warning his disciples, or the Jews actually, that when you see this abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, when you see the Antichrist standing in the temple of God declaring that he is God, then flee to the wilderness and don't stop to get your jacket. Just get out of there as fast as you can. If you're out in the field, don't even go home. Just run. In the book of Revelation, we are told that God gives to them wings of an eagle, sounds like helicopters, that will bear them to this place in the wilderness where they will be preserved for 3.5 years. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 16, the Lord says to Jordan, open up and receive my people. Bear them safely to Petra until the great tribulation is over. And so the Antichrist, when he finds that the Jews are fleeing, will send out an army against them, but the earth will open up and swallow the army. And then, of course, he'll be taken up with the other issues of the invasion of China and Russia and will not pursue them any further, but they will be preserved for 3.5 years. So thy people will be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now those that do not flee, the Antichrist will then go and make war against the remnant of the people that stay in the land, and there will be a horrible devastation of those people. Once again, a time of trouble such as never existed since they were a nation up until that time. Jesus said the time of great tribulation, such as the world has never seen before or will ever see again. Now Daniel here is told of the resurrection, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There is to be a resurrection of the dead. Now, they will not take place simultaneously. The righteous dead will rise 1,000 years before the unrighteous dead. But it's all lumped together in one here. In the book of Revelation, we see the time differential between the two. The resurrection of the righteous dead, they that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Of course, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there began the great resurrection. The body of many of the graves of many of the saints were open, and they were seen walking through the streets of Jerusalem after his resurrection from the dead. The great resurrection of the unjust dead will take place at the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign, when they stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and they rise to everlasting shame and contempt.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 11 through 12 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord fill your heart with praise and thanksgiving through the week, that you might know God's work and God's victory in your life. May God help you to bring things into their proper perspective and the proper priorities, that you might seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and that you might realize the power and the glory of the God that you serve, in order that you might see His work in your life in a very real and beautiful way. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you.
It is by faith that you've been walking into one level of spiritual maturity to another. Faith is the key to a successful Christian life. And that is why the Word of God tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It was faith that led Abraham into the land of promise. It was faith that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and to walk on water. The question is, what might faith do in you?
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's book, Faith, or to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.